Well, he can fix that stuff. He can fix a religious mind. Amen. That's somebody that's been to church thinking everything they've been hearing was right and found out, that's what mama said, but ain't what God said. That's right. That's when you got to change. You still love mama, but you got to love God more than you love mama. Amen. God can fix mama too, but don't you try to fix mama. Amen. Don't you go try to fix mama. Yeah, say, Lord, bring the perfect labor, and sometimes it ain't you when it comes to family, right? But sometimes it could be you. You know, that's where you got to listen to the Holy Ghost, the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, we had a beautiful wedding last night for my niece, and, you know, you had the daughter and dad dance, but then, you know, I lost our nephew too early last year. And they did a special song. It was for Dad and the brother that wasn't there that should have been there. That's what the song was kind of talking about. And there's a lot of tears shed. But you know what? God wanted him there too. God, it's God's will that we live a length of days. See, we determine a lot of times, and Terry mentioned about God is sovereign, and he is. I mean, he's got all this thing worked out, and one day things are going to be straightened out. But until then, I'm holding this for a purpose. But until then, I'm holding on to Jesus, holding on to this mic. Until then, we gotta see through all that junk and mess, God's still in there if we'll let him work and work things out. Amen. See, it's not his plan that kids commit suicide and kids get on drugs, addictions. Hey, I was involved in a lot of that mess. That never was God's plan. His plan for us was good, knowledge of good. But let's not look back so much to quit looking back at the past, and let's look to the future. We need to help people get out of their past and get into the future that God has for them. And that's going to come by preaching good news.
That's right.
I heard a lot of bad news, but nobody gave an answer to the good news. Or there was some good, don't get me wrong, there was some good. God brought me across parents, and I went home with my buddies, and they had parents that prayed over food, blessed their food. They were going to church. My house was in turmoil. You know, I didn't have that. So there was, God was putting people across my path. But it still comes down to where you've got to decide, yes, Jesus, it's between you and Jesus.
Amen.
And when you made that commitment to him, he's got a commitment. He's got a covenant with you. He'll never come out of it, no matter what you've done. No matter what you've done, run to Jesus.
Amen.
I heard that when I first got born again and got delivered, went to a Holy Ghost meeting, Church of God meeting. Got delivered from demons, devils, whatever you want to call them. They had holds on me, strongholds on me, and I got delivered. And there was tongues before that, sir, before and during, after praise and worship. And there was interpretation. I didn't know all this stuff, but I bought the VD. I bought the back then it was a cassette, and I got one. I don't know if we paid for it or not, but I got me one. Because, man, it was a good service, and I got touched and changed, and, you know, we were hungry, man. We were pumping CDs. Back then, we had cassette tapes. We're pumping those things in, listening to the Word, getting pumped up. And behold, 3 or 4 years later, I'm starting to learn about what tongues and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, miracles and healings. I'm starting to learn about it. Why? I'm reading about it. It's in the Bible. Jesus is speaking in red, and I'm like, I ain't never heard this before, but I knew it. Jesus, he revealed his power to me in demonstration when I got set free, and that changed it. I don't care what anybody said. This is what happened to me. I don't care what you've experienced with God. I can only tell you my experience.
That's right.
And I can show you in the Word where it's experienced. That's what you got to believe, no matter what anybody says. You got to take Jesus at his word.
Right.
And we did, and he did, and here I am today preaching the gospel. Amen.
Yeah.
Because that night there was an impartation gave to me. Hands was laid on me. It wasn't a hand, it was a finger. God don't need a hand. If you just get the finger of God in your life, you just get close to the presence. Somebody that believes God's word and is preaching it, there's faith to receive it and act on it and receive it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what I did. I didn't know a lot of the stuff in the Bible. I just knew I was lost. I needed to be saved, and I did. And then I got invited to church, and I went, and it was the right place. God had been preparing a destiny for me. And I went down, totally surrendered, Terry said this morning, to that altar, not knowing, oh Lord, not knowing what was going to happen. But then God, man, he delivered me, filled me with his Spirit. And I didn't speak in tongues that night, but I learned about it. Me and my wife, we got into the Word. So you got to get into the Word and then get around some people that believe the Bible, and believe it's not a book that's changing, you know, with the times and the culture. No, God says I never change.
That's right.
What He did back in the beginning, He's still doing now.
Yes, He is.
He's still out to bless people. And we got blessed. Me and my wife got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. But then going back, I bought that video 2 or 3 or 4 years later. We're watching it. I'm like, yeah, I remember that. But there was tongues. But then somebody said, run to me. Run to me. Run to me. I learned later that was the interpretation. And there was many tongues, many syllables spoken by 2, maybe 3 people in that church of God. But then just a couple, run to me. And there was something else said, but... See, I ran to that altar that night. But I didn't really know. My spirit was hearing, but I didn't understand it back then. I didn't know what the people were talking about over there, but I ran to the altar. But then I went back. That was God saying, run to me. Run to me. And that ministered to me. That was God speaking in that service. I didn't understand it back then, but he met me at the altar. He met me down there. Through his man, through his the man that was speaking the word and delivering and anointed, and I got set free. So this morning, I got a live mic. Check, check. It ain't live yet. Check, check. It's live. See, I got somebody back here that knows how to operate this mic. See, I got another mic up here. But I'm going to pass it around. Anybody wants to testify, give a testimony of what the Lord ministered to you Sunday. If there's something, you know, everybody don't have to take the mic, but who wants it first? And we're going to pass it around. Anybody want to testify? Anything Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay, I know they were coming. I'm just waiting. See, waiting. I'm waiting. Let me let go of her, Andy. It's a live mic here. You never know what you're going to get. Now, say yes to Jesus.
Be careful.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Here, good. I'm going to hold that mic.
Okay.
You stand up, sit down, whatever you need to.
I'll just sit. Well, I was impressed about the how it came together and everything was, like you'd said before, was in place. Yeah. And the expectancy that was there. And so we had about this whole area filled. And but if more people would have came, we were ready.
Amen.
That's right.
And we had the overflow and had it set up where they could hear the teaching and the praise and worship. And to me, that's faith and expectancy. And I've come to believe that is what we need to do. Even though we're not all that many right now, we need to be ready and prepared, you know, for the ones that are going to come and be expecting. And I believe God's going to send those. And I believe in different ways. And I believe some of it's going to be by us when we have opportunities to tell the gospel, to share our faith. And it was just a great flow in the spirit, the praise and worship, and then the teaching that we got.
Right. Yes.
And I just praise the Lord for all that He did.
Well, I'd been listening to Lynn Mink for 20 years. And it was good to see. I'd never really heard him minister. I've just heard him sing, basically. What he spoke touched my heart. And it was good to see. Here's this man I put on a pedestal. He's not on a pedestal. He's just a human being. And he showed that side, talking about his family and so on like that. But he does definitely speak the word of God. He and his wife both are a blessing in my life.
You know, that's why I'm on this side. You got the mic. Okay, Ms. Vicki.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sound booth.
Yes, Lord.
You know, when he had us all to come down, and I wasn't going at first, but I'm glad I did. So when I got down there, and I don't know why, I just said, I want it all. It just entered my spirit. I want it all. So I received what he said I would receive. I did receive that gift. I did receive the nuggets.
Amen.
You know, and I know there's more to come.
Amen.
I know there was a whole lot more to come.
Yes, Lord.
Any other time, I wouldn't have believed it. But at that time, when I left here, I thought, how can that happen to me, Lord? But he says it can.
That's right.
All things are possible
Amen.
Through him.
Amen. That's the word, right?
And I really received many blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The word came out.
Well, like Randy said, I felt like that we were prepared, and we were willingly prepared, and I felt good about that. I really did. Just it was the surrender to the helps, and I'd never heard Lynn or Kathy speak before, like Terry had said, but I really enjoyed listening, especially to her. She can just really speak, and I mean she. Brought it down to earth, and you know, and she even opened up some about her family, and we've all experienced that, and so our church was prepared to with the finances for him. I mean, that was a blessing to him, I'm sure, and the Lord's going to honor all that. We're ready for the next time.
Amen.
All right.
Yes, sir. Bigger things.
God wants to do bigger things. Amen.
I was just thinking about last Sunday too. This church is a service church. They come out of their comfort zone to serve one another. And that impressed me. Really, that is God's hands and feet when we do that. And you just feel the love and the speaking and everything last Sunday. Like you guys said, that they were just humble people, just down to earth, didn't put on airs, and that really impressed me about, you know, that is truly a servant of God, is to be humble.
At the end of the service there, they were willing to stay and pray and speak over every single person in this congregation. So I think that says a lot for the Minks.
Yes.
Yep. Amen. And like I say, they were, you know, he's been traveling with Brother Copeland for leading his worship for over 40 years now. You know, Brother Copeland's been in the ministry 50 years. So, you know, he's only missing like 10 years of disconnect there that he wasn't hooked up with him. You know, and I haven't, because he got his doctorate through LCU in 2013, and they... he sang at our rehearsal dinner that night, and it was a blessing. That's the only time I met him because, you know, through these connections, I mean, God just puts you across people, across your path for certain seasons. But Brother Copeland, we've always listened to him. You know, he spoke into our lives when he came to Greensboro. And there, you know, here we've been praying, believing. You know, we want the right people, the gifts to come in. And then through that connection, through Harold, just called me up one day, you know, hey, Pastor, you know Lynn and Kathy Meek? And I'm saying, yeah, I think I know. He leads the praise and worship for Kenneth Copeland Ministry. And I really didn't connect back then when he came and got his doctorate because I really just didn't get in there and just, like Terry, I didn't know him. I just heard of him. But I'm like, Kenneth Copeland? Yeah, well, they can come minister at our church. See, I didn't have to pray about that a lot. You still pray. But I know Kenneth. I know his heart because we're partners with him personally. And, that's how you look at a person. You look at their fruit. You look at their life. I mean, yeah, you're going to hear some, you could do some Google and you can hear all this other stuff, but my God, look at anything right now. What's the truth?
Right.
Well, the truth is look at their life. Yeah. But when you start looking at people's lives and they back off, you better really, you know, well, what's the problem? They don't, Kenneth, their ministry, they don't have a problem. They're open. Their finances are open, what they do. And so I believe we're going to have those gifts back. But I want those testimonies to share this morning. And like I say, we're going to work on the DVDs because I knew when I heard a prophecy, prophetic words over Kelsey, and I still need to go back and I ain't even listen so much as mine and Sherry's. I listened to hers because when I heard her spoken out and I was up here, you know, I'm just kind of watching and listening to a lot of things. I didn't even hear Kelsey's, what they spoke of her until after when I started looking at DVDs. And when I heard that, that was a man of God, woman of God. See, they're underneath the Brother Kenneth, and he's a prophetic teacher. That's what that's his gift. He teaches the word, but it's prophetic word spoken out. And he's a psalmist. Kenneth sings too. He did that before he got born again. But see, that's just something he can just add to a little bit of the message. He laid that down and started preaching the word. See, he could sing. That wasn't something he couldn't do. The preaching is what you can't do. If you got a natural talent, there's still something that God needs to do with you that you're not comfortable with, that only He knows. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where he can use all your abilities. But step out and trust him. But when I heard that word over Kelsey, I knew that was the gifts that we need here at this church, and they're welcome back anytime. Amen? Because it was right on. It was the word of the Lord. And that bears witness. So today, check one. We took testimonies. I want to talk a little bit about laying on of hands, because that's what happened to us after the service. You know, different services, different ways, you know, and as pastor, you know, you come up here, we lay hands on you. But that specifically, they laid hands on everybody that wanted to receive. Everybody come through the line, they got hands laid on them. And it's in the Bible. And it's in our bylaws of our church, what we believe. We believe in the laying on of hands because we're in a generation, we're in a culture today that you got to watch. You just don't lay hands suddenly on anybody. I think they wrote that specifically in the Bible for our generation. Because, man, people want to slap you with things and, you know, did this and did that. But that's why I don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. A lot of times I'll ask. And if we have women up here, sometimes I'll call for our ladies in the church to come lay hands on them ladies. Amen? Because you got to use the brain God gave you too. And then again, you don't have to lay hands on anybody. God can touch you right there in your pew, but we do what the Bible says. Terry told you a little bit what we believe here. But Acts chapter 8, if you go to the book of Acts, this is after Jesus is resurrected. He's in heaven, but he said, I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost. But this is what the church should be acting like. This is actually, you could call it the book. You could call it the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts of the Holy Spirit is what you could say, because this is how the Holy Spirit was working through the church after the church was born. But in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 18, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them. Who are they praying for? They're praying for people that just believed on Jesus and got born again. We call them new converts, man. They came in and they believed. They got born again. So Peter and John, when they come down, prayed for them, that they might receive, here's a might receive. Well, I thought, well, they believed in Jesus, that's being born again. See, there's more to than just being born again and saved. When that word saved, it covers, sozo covers everything that God has for you. Jesus said, when his disciples, at one time before he left his earth, he said he breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Ghost, and he breathed on them. Now, if I breathe on you, I got some mints in my pocket. So sometimes God might tell me to breathe on you, amen? But I ain't got to breathe on you to receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus already did that. See, that's already been taken. See, Jesus said, receive. They had been with him, walking to him, talking with him. When they believed, that's how you get born again. You believe on Jesus. They believed. They were made right then. But the gift of the Father hadn't been given yet, because Jesus hadn't been received up to heaven yet. But he did institute the breath. Just like in the beginning, God breathed into Adam the breath of what? Life. See, Jesus breathed his life on them. And then he was going to go away. He did it for a purpose. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. So then after that, he said, when I leave, y'all stay here in Jerusalem, because the Father's going to send another gift. He said, tarry. And the Bible says, tarry. And wait here. And that was 10 days after, because they were celebrating it. 10 days after would be the Pentecost. So 10 days, they just had to wait. That's not long, Randy. That's not long, is it? 10 days to stay right here. See, when Jesus breathed on them, there was something changing on them. They just didn't, I mean, they were excited. They, you know, that's not the time. Because when I got born again, me and Sherry, before we got understood a lot of things, man, we were on fire. Delivered from the devil, delivered, you know, I had no more desire to drink. My cussing left. I mean, the words changed back to where I never cussed. It just came out of me. I'm like, I had to stand back and look. You're standing back looking at yourself. What happened? Man, God, it's like God totally set me free. So we had to learn some things, but then we went out and started telling all these people. Some people were excited, but some people thought we were Looney Tunes. Because they had never heard. They didn't believe you can talk to God and God still heals and delivers you from devils. And that some people don't even believe there are devils. I didn't know a lot about them, but I know more about them now than I did then. But you don't have to know a lot about them, just know Jesus. Amen. He'll show you what you need to know. A lot of times if somebody's got a problem with the devil, you just tell them to shut up and come out. Jackie got some sinuses taken care of this morning. She was having a migraine headache. We agreed and prayed and spoke to it, and it left.
Yes.
Amen. It can be spiritual attacks. It can be things happening in your body, but you just got to get somebody to believe with you. Pray, and the word works. That's demonstration of power. It might seem small, but that's God. That's his word working. Jesus said, what do you want? Be healed. Receive your sight. What do you want? You want to see? See. So we're talking about Acts 18:14. Peter said that they might receive the Holy Ghost, Peter and John. See, there's two of them there. Two of them, Peter and John, are agreeing. They know what's been released, and they know the church needs it. So they went down. As far as yet, he had not fallen upon them. Only they were baptized, what, in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized. We're going to baptize here. That means they were immersed. They were put into the body of Christ. They're believers. They're born again. That's what happened to them. And verse 17, what did they do? Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. They received what they had received on the day of Pentecost. Who laid hands on the apostles? Jesus did. Amen. The Holy Ghost, Jesus laid hands. I mean, he wasn't here. He was in heaven. But I can see him. He breathed on them. And he put his hands on them. The Father sent the gift, and they were. Now, I'm talking about spiritually. Jesus laid his hands on them. He physically has laid his hands on them anyway. And they received. And it says you can see that day of Pentecost, you can see on their heads tongues of fire. That could visibly could be seen back then. But see, that was a sign and a wonder back then. We don't have to see that now. That was a one-time event. God poured out his spirit on all flesh. It was prophesied by Joel. And that happened. And that's done. No more tarrying. Don't have to go to Jerusalem. See, if people are still preaching, you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. If they're going to be biblical, they got to go to Jerusalem. Because he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Amen. You got to watch what the Bible says. You don't have to tarry. Jesus has already poured out his gift.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost. We don't have to keep the Feast of Pentecost anymore. We got a new covenant. We got a better covenant based on better promises. Jesus is here in our midst now. We don't have to go get anything. It's already been done. So they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, now here's a convert. Simon used to be a sorcerer. You know, he was working in Susan and demonic powers. It says, Simon saw that through the laying on of their hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, and he offered them money. And if you continue to read on, I'm not going to go on in there. Peter got upset when that happened, because he looked at him and said, you all bitter and guile, and you, man, this is bad. He said, your money perish with you, Peter said. You can't buy the gift of God. You just believe it and receive it by faith. That's how you speak, and that's how you receive anything from God, is by faith. It has nothing to do with your money. Nothing to do with your money. Amen. So we're talking about the laying on of hands. Now, if you go over to 1 Timothy, make sure there wasn't nothing. Let's see. Let me just share this right here while we're here. It said that Simon saw some kind, this is the sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer saw some kind of visible manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. We should be expecting that too. One visible sign this morning is Jackie's migraine headache is gone. That's a sign. That's evidence that the Holy Ghost done that. Amen. This passage does not explain what the visible expression was. There are three other accounts, which is in Acts 2:4, Acts 10:44, 46, and Acts 19:6. And in each instance, they spoke in tongues. That's why we say, pretty much in a full gospel church, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you usually see, will be evidence of speaking in tongues. That's how you kind of know that they've received, like the laying on of hands, they received that, is you'll speak in an unknown tongue. And that's what happened back in the day of Pentecost. This was probably the manifestation Simon saw, probably this is because you could about verify it there, that caused him to offer the apostles money so that he too could give the Holy Ghost to people. It's interesting to note that Simon wanted the ability to give the Holy Ghost to whoever he wanted to, right? So much that he was willing to pay for that power. Simon had already continued with Philip. Philip was the evangelist. And he was amazed and beheld the miracles that Philip did. It is therefore quite an endorsement as to the power of the Holy Ghost that Simon coveted. He coveted the power of the Holy Ghost more than the power to work miracles. Because Simon previously had power when he was using sorcery, but nothing like that the Holy Ghost had. Because, see, he noticed that he could give it. Peter, when they laid hands on him, they received. And then he's wanting that. And see, that's where your motive's wrong. If you're wanting it to do as you want to do it, and it's not, it's as the Holy Spirit. So you can't get, I can't make anybody speak in tongues. I can't make anybody get born again. All I got to do is preach the gospel. I preach the word. That's what the word says. And if you believe it and you want to receive it, you'll get it. Amen. And it's all by faith. That's how you receive anything, by God, by faith. See, a lot of times in the Bible, they said, if you're who you say you are, Pharisees, religious people talking to Jesus, do this or do that. Even the devil, the first temptation, the devil said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Well, Jesus could have done that. But you don't want to do anything if God hadn't told you to do it. And the Father didn't say, do that. See, because Jesus is listening to the Father. He's not listening to the devil. And the devil is trying to get you to do the opposite of what God, that's how the temptation began. Did God say? Well, Jesus said, God didn't say to turn that stone into bread. It's written, thou shalt not live by bread alone. See, this is what God said. Jesus told him something, but he told him, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, which was his Father. And see, that's what you got to quote the devil. You quote the word that God's saying to you, right? Amen. Me and my house, we serve the Lord. And when you hear about that America is not a Christian nation, America is going to hell in a, how would you say that? I hear that, hell in a handbasket. Not me and my house. It's for me and my house, we serve the Lord. This nation is blessed because I'm here. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God went down and talked to Abraham. He knew his nephew Lot was over there. Abraham had a bargaining with God. I got some kinfolk over there. You wouldn't destroy the whole nation if there's 10 righteous. He started with 10. But God wouldn't have done it for one. Because God, his nature is love. He doesn't want nobody to perish. But there's a time you better get out. If you're around ungodly and you shouldn't be there and you preach the gospel, Jesus says, shake off the dust of your feet and get on to the next place. Because if they don't receive Jesus, they in the curse. I'm not speaking curses. You don't have to speak curses. They already in the curse. And like I say, that's between them and what's coming out of their mouth. Depending on the destruction. Amen. Because destruction came on Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was bad in that place. Man, we had homosexuals wanting to have sex with angels. Amen. You go read the story. These were angels that was walking with Abram. That was bad stuff. Another sermon for another day. Amen. We're talking about laying on of hands. Hey, that'll get homosexuals, that'll get sin out of people's lives if they want to get rid of it, if they want to know the truth. Because you got to want to know the truth. You got to hear the truth. Amen. I go to Jackie's house. Jackie was a blessing. She fed 10 ministers after that service. And I walked in Jackie's house and I smelled some things. There was apple pies, blueberry pies. There was yeast rolls. I ain't going to tell y'all what else was there. Amen. But see, you get hungry for God. Taste the Lord and see that he is good. Amen. He's good. You got to get close enough to taste. If I want a piece of that pie, I got to get in the kitchen and say, I'll take a slice of that. Jesus said, when you seek me with your whole heart, you can have the whole pie. Jesus said, if you seek me with your whole heart, you can have everything I got. Amen. Amen. That's it. He ain't holding nothing back. God's not holding nothing back. The debt has been paid. All right. We're talking about laying on of hands. 1 Timothy. I told you 1 Timothy, but I didn't tell you anything else, did I? That's because I hadn't got there yet. 1 Timothy. And we're going to be in chapter 4. 1 Timothy. Paul called him his son in the faith. Paul wasn't married, but he was married to Jesus. That should be your first relationship you know, before you even think about husband and wife, are you married to Jesus? You're born again. That's your first marriage. That's your first covenant right there. Is know, learn of him. Learn of Jesus, chapter 4 and verse 6. This is Paul giving Timothy sound advice. I believe I'm giving you some sound advice, because if something is demonstrated in this church, if you're not, people maybe not comfortable, haven't seen it before, God wants you to know. Amen? What's happening? What you can expect next time? He's given some sound advice on how to be a good minister. I thank God. That's how I'm trusting the Lord, to help me be a good minister. Tell you the truth, and when if I tell you something that's not wrong, you correct me. I stand, let you guys, hey, that wasn't, you said that wrong, Pastor. Correct me, because I'm asking the Holy Ghost to, and he works through you guys too, right? Amen. You can come up to me and say, hey, I'm not sure about this. And we'll get the CD out and we'll listen. All right, yeah, we missed it right there. But if thou, verse 6, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. What's the name of this church? Word of faith. Don't you pull up Word of Faith on Google, Word of Faith. Some of it's not good out there, but we're not talking about this church. Not every church is listening to Jesus. Amen. Some of them are like the sorcerer. Amen. I mean, they say they got born again, but they out there for your money. There's churches out there. I don't know a lot of them, but if I did, I'd tell you, I'd say don't go there. Be nourished up. Be a minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up with words of faith and of good doctrine, good teaching. Whereunto, Paul says, you have attained. Paul believed in what he was preaching was the truth, because he's saying Timothy, and he knows some of Timothy's, he knew Eunice or his grandmother, he knew his background. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Till I come, Paul is saying, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And he's telling him, neglect not the gift that's in you, Timothy, which was given thee by prophecy. What's prophecy? Word spoken by a man inspired by the Holy Ghost. That's prophecy. That's how Jesus got born. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect these gifts that come into the church. You don't quite understand them. Well, don't neglect it. Ask your pastor, ask somebody about what's going on here. Which is given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Sometime in Timothy's life, hands were laid on him. And he received a gift. Amen? Amen. When I went to that service that night, a finger was laid on me. And there was a gift, I believe, that was already there. And I believe all the gifts and callings the Bible says are without repentance. They're there. They just needed to be lit up. Amen. He pushed my button. In other words, impartation. The anointing was there. Amen. And it was imparted, that anointing, that same power. And I received it. I plugged in to that, what that man was preaching that night, the word of God, the word of faith, power in God's word. And I plugged into it and I received that deliverance. And I just knew. I knew there was a calling now. I wanted to do that same thing that happened to me that night. I wanted to do it. I wanted to go help others get free. Amen? It was a part of me then. That's what Paul was telling Timothy here. And it happened with the laying on of hands. That was just a part that God used. Man, think about your hands, your fingers. Think that that's the most sensitive part of your body, pretty much your feet and your hands. My wife don't like me messing with her feet. She's just sensitive. Leave them alone. Sometimes she lets me massage them, get some good old lotion on there. She's had a rough day, rough week, but not every day. You can't do that every day. And I'm not real sensitive about my feet, but some people just, you know, some of the kids, my kids, boy, you just touch their feet, they go, ah, real sensitive. It's our last scripture, Hebrews 6. But talk about laying on of hands, Hebrews 6, 1 and verse 2 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and we're not talking about leaving, we're just talking about, let us go on. Once that's been laid, that foundation's been laid, let us go on to perfection. That means maturity. We're not all going to be perfect, but mature. Not laying again. In other words, don't go back. We shouldn't have to go back to this and keep doing this unless we have a whole church of new people. We got to go back and teach it. But as for you, it's been underneath the word 10, 15, 20 years. We shouldn't have to go back and start talking about these laying on of hands like we don't know them. That's what he's saying here. He said, we shouldn't have to go back and lay the foundation of repentance from dead works. You shouldn't have to come in here if you're all born again. I believe we all are. I shouldn't have to give a 30-minute message on being born again. Right? Because we know that. Let's go on to something else. Now, I'm not neglecting. See, we're not neglecting that. But, okay, we need to something else. Once somebody gets born again, what else do I need to give them? And that's what Paul's saying. Dead works of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. We've learned about that. And of laying on of hands. And this is a foundation that should be in every church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This should be there because it's in the Word. You should be laying hands on repentance from dead works. Baptism with water, with the Holy Ghost, with this evidence and tongues, baptism into the body of Christ, and of eternal judgment, heaven or hell, and that should be ministered to in the church too. You know, there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. I'm not going to go into, that's what I wanted to just mention right there, that this laying on of hands, That's a principal foundation for the kingdom. Amen. We should be expecting that. That's how God flows through His people, through His ministers, and through the Holy Spirit, through the gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And He wants to use you too. Amen. So that service, and like I say, we're going to get you a DVD because I want you to. There was a lot of things. The repetitive things said, increase was what Kathy was teaching on. She was that anointing. She was talking about increase, about God wanting you. He wants us to increase more and more so that we can help others, more people. Amen? Not so that we can have more, but in the giving, we'll have more. So it ain't about having more. It's about having more to give. And in the process, you just become a channel, a blessing for God. Amen? That's what He wants. Amen.
Amen.
So know that you can get people out there that are listening to you as you witness, that you can lay hands on them, but don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. Ask them. You have. That is the principle. Speaking the word, getting them born again, getting them. Ain't you about, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you spoken in tongues? A lot of times sometimes you can leave the tongues off. Have you spoken in the Holy Ghost? Some people's been taught so much against tongues that you can give them something different they ain't never heard about. Speaking in the Holy Ghost, what's that? In your most holy faith, what's that? So, and that's what the Bible says in Ephesians. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. That's speaking in other tongues, in another language. Speaking directly to God. Amen? That builds you up. If it's not building you up, it ain't right. You learned it wrong or something. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. This is your day, Lord. This is the day that you have made. I thank you, Lord, for the laying on of hands that was laid on your people here last Sunday, Father, for the impartations, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were stirred up and those that were imparted. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the prophetic words that were released through the minister, through his wife, through your gifts. And Lord, we remind ourselves, just like Paul's reminding Timothy, not to neglect. Lord, we're not going to neglect these gifts. But Lord, we're going to meditate in your word. Like the leader told us this morning, Lord, meditate on it. Seek you with all of our heart so that we can hear from heaven and be exactly where we need to be, doing what you've called us to do. And Father, we just give you the praise. We thank you, Lord, for a glorious day today. We thank you, Lord, for we lift up Elaine. And Frankie, right now, Father God, we speak your continual blessings to Elaine and her body. Yes. No fear in her life, in their life, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we call them blessed, their house blessed, all that they touch, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you right now, those gifts, you stir those gifts up that's on the inside of them. You stir that word up right now, Father. We just thank you. We just stir up the word that's on the inside of them. That's how they overcome, by the word of the Lamb, blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony of what they believe and what they've heard. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for Bootsy getting favor on getting another vehicle, getting hers fixed, whatever, Lord, you put in her heart to do. We just thank you for your favor in that, that she will be able to have her a vehicle to get to church. And, Lord, there won't be no more wrecks. There won't be no more bump-ups in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We call your people blessed today, Father. We thank you for that, Lord.